Today on episode number 358 of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements, which you can find at schoolofpodcasting.com/358, we've got some great stats from Rob over at podcast411.com. You're going to hear another great podcast success story from Wayne Henderson from mediavoiceovers.com. We have part two of my interview with Daniel J. Lewis, where we talk everything from WordPress to how he started his podcast, why he started his podcast, and starting a podcast network. And again, that's over at theaudacitytopodcast.com. And we're going to get some tips on podcasting from the podfather himself, Adam Curry, and the No Agenda Show.
The School of Podcasting with Dave Jackson.
Podcasting since 2005. I am your personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson, thanking you so very much for tuning into the show. Look, I know you're busy. And if you're new to the show, this is where we talk about all things podcasting, from planning to promoting to recording, all points in between. My job is I bring my 20 plus years of technical training to the microphone so that everything we talk about makes sense. So if you're looking to start a podcast, you want to get it up going, you want to get it up going quickly, you want to get it up going in the right direction. I helped somebody this week who was using Amazon S3. They were using PodPress. They had done, unfortunately, about everything wrong. And before they pulled the trigger, they said, I'm going to get Dave on the phone for 15 minutes. And man, did I save them a huge headache in the future. So we always like to just jump right into it. If you'd like to join in on the conversation, our website is schoolofpodcasting.com. You can find my contact information out there. We've got a link if you want to chime in via voicemail like Wayne Henderson did, because we always like to start off with a little podcast success story. And Wayne, this is a great story. We talk about how you don't always benefit with money, like actual stuff that you can go spend at the grocery store, but there are memories and there are gifts that are priceless. And Wayne was the recipient. Wait till you hear this.
Hey, Dave. Wayne Henderson here from the Packers Fan Podcast and MediaVoiceovers.com. Wanting to call in for your School of Podcasting podcast. Thank you for putting together the show. And I'm glad that I got to bump into you at the recent New Media Expo in Las Vegas and chat with you for a few minutes, Dave. That was good times. I want to call in and answer your question because of my podcast blank. Well, because of the different podcasts I've done through the years, like my Lost podcast and Fringe podcast and others, I've been able to connect with quite a community of people, which has brought in some voice acting jobs for myself where I've recorded intros for their podcasts or other voiceover jobs. So that was, you know, good income, good stuff, always excellent. On my most recent show, the Packers Fan Podcast, of which we're beginning season 3, because of my Packers Fan Podcast, I was able to go on a dream trip to Green Bay, Wisconsin, and go to a historic game where we trounced our division rival Chicago Bears, and the seats were fantastic. Got a loyal listener to my show. I just wanted to show his appreciation and kind of set up a meetup. So he said, you know, basically, if you can get here before 5 p.m. the day before the game, you know, we'll tour the sites, we'll see great historic Green Bay activities and check out things, go to the museum and all of that. And because he's got his family has season tickets where they get to go to just two home games a year, and getting a season ticket to the Green Bay Packers is near impossible. Every single home game has been sold out to a season ticket holder since the mid 60s. I'm on the waiting list. Number 35,000 something on the waiting list just for the right to get Packer season tickets. Anyways, this loyal listener had a ticket that he wanted to give to me to join them at the game on the 45-yard line, about a third of the way up at Lambeau Field. Just about the most perfect seats that you could imagine. The weather was perfect. We had a great time hanging out with this listener and his family. The game was fantastic. We cremated the Chicago Bears. And it was a dream trip that, you know, you could probably find a ticket on eBay and buy it off a ticket scalper for like $500. But I didn't even have to pay for room and board. It was a gift from a listener that enjoyed the Packers Fan Podcast. And it was a dream trip. It was fantastic. And I'm ever so grateful because of my podcast.
Wayne, thank you so much. And yeah, it was great meeting you out at Vegas. Still haven't figured out. I'm on the fence about that one. going back to Vegas. It was a great time, but I've got a lot of things going on in my life that are very much up in the air at this point. And yeah, so check out Wayne. I wanted to be sure to mention that you can find all things Wayne over at MediaVoiceOvers.com. Again, MediaVoiceOvers.com. Hey, way back in episode 351, which really wasn't that far ago, this was the episode talking about his opening chit-chat, Bad, and I interviewed Nick Suberling from Start Talking and Recording Today. You can find that out at schoolofpodcasting.com/351. And hopefully you know that Adam Curry and Dave Weiner are credited mainly with the invention of the technology that is known as podcasting. They basically created an enclosure that is used with an RSS, blah, blah, blah. And yes, it is Adam Curry, for those of you who remember, from MTV fame. Very nice guy. I've met him before. And on his show, No Agenda, which he does with John C. Dvorak, you can find that at noagendashow.com. There's another example of, I'm sure they went for No Agenda, but it was probably taken, so they just tacked on show at the end of it. Phenomenal podcast. They get thousands of dollars every month in donations because they provide value. And on episode 517, they were talking about another podcast, and as we affectionately refer to Adam as the Podfather, he is the Podfather. I've heard a couple of people try to steal that term. No, no, no. There's one Podfather. It's Adam Curry. And here's what he has to say. Here's his tips on podcasting.
Let me give you a little tip, people. Little tip of the from the Podfather here. When you have a podcast, get right into it. All right, don't do an opening theme song of 2 minutes.
This is there's a couple I clipped that were I was going to use as the ridicule clip.
It's not ridicule. It's an alternative.
The alternative clip. But it was the theme song was like 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's so stupid.
It just goes on and on and on with these songs. You know, just blah, blah, blah. And there was another one. There's a podcast which I wanted to clip, which is it's another pagan podcast. You should check that out.
Mm.
And they play a full song of some sort, illegally, I might add.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Whatever. It's okay. Yeah.
They'll play some whole song, and then they yak amongst themselves about the song, and then who's not there this week, bitching about pagans. They start bitching about people who hate pagans.
So my without a doubt, my hobby, my passion outside of this program is high-frequency radio transceivers and antennas. I'm really into it. God knows why. There's something going on that I'm being pushed by the universe into this. So I go looking for podcasts because, you know, I don't know, I had something to do with that. And it's like, oh, this could be great because, you know, you're not going to find this on NBC. Discovery Channel that doesn't have like a thing. Yeah, maybe a ridicule. So there's all these podcasts, Linux and the Ham Shack, Ham Nation, Ham Radio Today. And let me tell you something. They all suck, every single one of them. It's horrible. And people think that it's fun. It's not fun to listen to you talk bull crap about yourself for an hour before you get into what it's really about. What the point of your show is about. Unless you have a show that's about talking bull crap. Well, okay, then that's good. But get into it. And you might want to consider when you do it, get a chat room who can sit there and yell at you. As for as annoying as it is, it works.
I think the chat room is valuable. I'm sorry I said that.
Wow, hold on. Let me pick myself up off the floor.
There you go. Adam Curry, the Podfather. Clip of the week is what we call that. And if you want to find out more great information, and instead of learning about, I don't know, Kim Kardashian and Honey Boo Boo and all this other stupid stuff on TV, turn off the TV, turn on No Agenda Show at noagendashow.com. Next up, we have part two of my interview with Daniel J. Lewis from the award-winning podcast. If you missed last week's episode, I interviewed Daniel about his strategy, because Daniel won an award, a podcast award for technology. Not an easy category to win. And you can find that again at schoolofpodcasting.com. It was last week's episode. So again, if you just go to schoolofpodcasting.com and then add a /357, that'll take you right there. And so we talked about that last week. This week, I talked to him about starting a network. You can find his network at noodle.mx and what it was like to bring on outside podcasters. We talk a little bit of WordPress and just a generally really nice guy. If you haven't checked out his plugin, go over to subscribeandshare.com. It's an easy way to add those kind of iTunes, Pinterest, those kind of icons to your WordPress site. And I can see where good old Jim Collison said, hey, I purchased the subscribe and follow plugin that Daniel created. Makes adding those links very easy on my site. It deployed and it's working well, worth every cent. You can see how I deployed it at theaverageguy.tv. Great podcast, Dave. Looking forward to hearing Daniel when he, quote, comes back from part two. So there you go. Here is my interview with Daniel J. Lewis from theaudacitytopodcast.com. All right, joining me back again, we heard him last week from the Audacity to Podcast, as well as, is it learningaudacity.com?
Learnaudacity.com.
Learnaudacity.com and many other websites that we'll be talking about. My good buddy, Daniel J. Lewis, thanks for coming back on the show.
Thank you, Dave. I had a lot of fun last week, and I'm looking forward to continuing the conversation today.
Me too. The other thing I wanted to talk to you about is you do have your network. That, of course, is over at noodle.mx, and you've got your shows over there. But recently, you brought on Eric, is it Jay Fisher?
Yeah, Eric Fisher.
Okay. I'm just going to put everybody's now going to have the middle initial J.
Well, his Twitter handle has his middle initial.
Okay.
In it. Yeah.
So Ray J. Ortega, Cliff J. Ravenscraft. So one of the things that I wanted to ask you about is when you brought him on, it may not have been anything this major in terms of, you know, stepping out and having a process, but were there anything that you had any kind of discussions with him in terms of setting things up so that in the event things take off, you know, in terms of money or who does what or things like that? So if somebody's thinking of starting their own kind of podcast network and they want to bring their friends on, any insights into that process?
Yeah, it is complicated, but I knew that this was a direction I wanted to go. Eric's podcast, Beyond the To-Do List, is actually the second podcast I've brought into the network that was hosted by someone else. The first one was actually Christian Meets World, but Beyond the To-Do List is the biggest one that I've brought into the network. And it's a mutually beneficial relationship. That's the key thing. Whenever you're looking at making an agreement with someone in podcasting or any kind of business, really, look to make it a mutually beneficial thing. So on Eric's side, he gets a well-designed website. He gets some podcasting support. He got updated podcast cover art. He gets the website hosting. He gets advertising deals and a lot of services and things that he didn't have the time to create himself or manage himself. And then on the other side of that, what I require from him are some things like network identification at the end of his podcast episodes. I'm very clear about that. I want it at the end. I don't want it to detract from his actual podcast message. And also some occasional cross-network promotion where, like, we promoted the podcast awards through Beyond the To-Do List, and Beyond the To-Do List will be in the podcast awards this year. And also we have a financial agreement that there are different ways that we've looked at doing this, but most recently it's when I can negotiate a podcast sponsorship deal, then I get a certain portion of the profit from that. He gets a certain portion. And when he uses affiliate links inside the podcast, then I use PrettyLink Pro, which allows me to randomize where a particular link will go. So I might say, for example, theaudacitytopodcast.com/Bluehost, and it might go to his affiliate link, well, not for that domain, but right. This is just for example, it might use his affiliate link or it might use my affiliate link based on a certain percentage and weight of this. So it'd just be random when people go there, One person would get sent to mine, one person gets sent to another. And then that's a lot easier to track the profits that way, other than looking at my records, where did I receive affiliate income, and then splitting that out with him. But this is something that then he gets the payment from those affiliate links and I get an occasional payment back. So we're sharing that profit in certain ways. And that helps cover the expenses of hosting the website, hosting the media, and some of the design services and other services that I provide along with it. But definitely have agreements ahead of time. Like, we do have agreements on what would happen if he decides to leave the network. What does he lose? What does he gain? What does he take with him? What does he not? And so we have those agreements ahead of time so that we know these are the freedoms that he has. And if anything needs to change, then these are the policies that will follow.
Very cool. The other thing I wanted to talk about is, I know when you started off, you kind of went through a couple different variations of the way you have your server configured. I know now you're on multi-site, and correct me if I'm wrong, at one point I think you weren't. If you can kind of give us any insights into WordPress multi-site versus not WordPress multi-site, and I guess we should start off with, what is WordPress multi-site and what are the advantages?
Yeah, multi-site is another way of running WordPress. It's now integrated into the regular WordPress, but you have to do some little back-end stuff in order to turn it on. It allows you to run multiple WordPress websites through a single installation. So it means, for example, I can have a single login to multiple sites. Each site is using the same set of plugins, but each site can activate or deactivate only certain plugins. Each site can have its own domain. It can have its own theme. It can have its own content, and it not in any way conflict with content on other websites, but it can function to the public. It functions like its own website, depending on how you set this up. It could be subdomains. It could be subfolders. So like, it might be noodle.mx/theaudacitytopodcast. Or theaudacitytopodcast.noodle.mx, or the way I have it set up is every website gets its own domain. So theaudacitytopodcast.com, onespodcast.com, cleancomedypodcast.com, they're all separate domains, but they're powered by the same installation of WordPress, which is running in multi-site mode.
And the advantage of that is, like you said, if, you know, let's say PowerPress comes in with a plugin or a new update, instead of having to go to five different websites and update it, you just update it in one place. Is that correct?
Right. Yeah. So I install a plugin. I can activate a single plugin across every website immediately. Some plugins even are taking advantage of this, like the latest versions of W3 Total Cache will allow me to install it at a network level, activate it network wide, and then change my settings inside of W3 Total Cache that will apply to every site on the network. Or I can tell it, let each site set its own information for this. And so that's a way that's really taking advantage of the network. So I don't have to go to every site and compare, what did I checkmark here? What did I enter here? And then copy that across the sites. But also each site then can have its own set of plugin activations or its own theme. But yeah, it's really nice to manage. Because it also works great for when I get these plugins, a premium plugin, for example. Now, I buy developer editions of every plugin I get, but some of these premium plugins, I install it just once and it works across the whole network, like PrettyLink or Relevancy or certain other plugins that I can use then across the network, because it's all on a single WordPress installation, just different domains.
Did you at one point have separate websites, or have you always been using multi-site?
When I first started, my first podcast was The Ramen Noodle. I started that in 2007, started taking it seriously in 2009. It took me 2 years to get out 9 episodes. That's what I mean by I started taking it seriously. And also early 2009, I started my second podcast, which is Are You Just Watching? And those at that time, when I launched them, were on separate domains, separate WordPress installations under a single multi-domain hosting account, like a Bluehost, HostGator, something like that. So if I wanted to update, I'd have to log into one site, update it there, then go log into the other site, update it there. But it was, each site was completely independent, and it allowed me to do everything unique to one site or unique to the other on that site. Then around, what was it, 2010, I decided to launch the Audacity to Podcast in June of 2010. And alongside the launch of the Audacity to Podcast, I wanted to bring all of my podcasts onto a single domain and start a podcast network, which I came up with the name Noodle Mix or Noodle.mx because the Ramen Noodle was my flagship podcast. And the word noodle actually can also mean to think through something or to wrestle with it in your brain. And that's what I wanted the podcast to do. And our slogan for the network is think, laugh, and succeed. But I brought it all into a single network. So every podcast was just a separate category in a single installation of WordPress. And my thinking there was that, hey, when someone goes to look at one podcast, they'll also see the other podcast and might subscribe to them. Bad thinking.
Really?
That is not the way it worked for me. Now, you can get that on sites. You can make one category styled a particular way and another category styled a different way. But what I was running into is I was realizing when people would visit noodle.mx, it was shouting a bunch of messages to them, not one single centralized message. So I couldn't market very effectively to people unless I did a lot of work to make category templates and category overrides and then what would happen in certain cases and all of these things I was concerned about, running everything from just a single site with multiple categories. So I decided, I think it was just later that year, 2010, I decided to split off the podcast, but then I, around that time, learned about WordPress multi-site. So the advantage now of having every website on its own domain and through its own, basically its own WordPress setup because of multi-site, it now means that when someone goes to the Audacity to Podcast, they see a very strong branding for the Audacity to Podcast. The design, the header, the sidebar widgets, the content, the layout, the color schemes, everything about that site says the Audacity to Podcast. And so everything I promote through that site is relevant to people who are on that site. For Once Podcast, everything on that site is relevant to people interested in Once Upon a Time. So now every site contains content and information only relevant to the people who are visiting that site. But then I have the network bar across the top where it gives people the opportunity to check out what else is out there. In addition to some occasional cross promotion and cross linking that we do in show notes and sometimes in the sidebars where we direct people to say, if you enjoy this, you might also enjoy our other podcast over here.
Very cool. So it's kind of, as you were talking, I went over to your website and I see exactly what you're talking about. It's you have your strong message for whatever podcast you're looking at. And then you kind of have, oh, and by the way, at the very top, you've got a really nice design, by the way, with the way the colors tie in and everything. And so if you are looking for more things, it's enough to go, well, what's Once Upon a Time? It's enough to kind of grab your attention just a little bit. And if somebody's interested, then they can dig a little further. So very cool.
And a side benefit to this is search engine optimization, because here are very high-ranking websites linking to other very high-ranking websites with the keywords that I choose. So it's helping each site rank a little bit better and each page rank a little bit better in search engine optimization.
Very cool. Excellent. Well, you had mentioned some of your podcasts that you've done. Have you ever podfaded any podcasts?
Kind of. Well, there are two podcasts. My first podcast, The Ramen Noodle, was basically a podfade in progress. It just took 2 years for it to stop being a podfade. Because it was one of those things where I'd record an episode and say, and I know many other podcasters have been in the same situation. I'd record an episode and say, hey, everybody, I'm going to start doing this every couple of weeks so you can expect a new episode. 6 months later, I say, sorry, here's a new episode and I'm going to start doing this regularly 6 months later.
Yeah.
So I just really struggled with that. And it was pod fading basically until I decided this is pathetic. 2 years, 9 full episodes. This isn't working. And it's because I was putting so much work into it. So I decided to save that podcast, be consistent, take it seriously. And we've been podcasting weekly now with that podcast, almost every week since 2009. And some of the iTunes reviews and comments I've seen have been hilarious to me, because it said stuff like, once you get past the first 9 episodes, it's great. And I'm thinking, what? Those are the 9 episodes where I put the most work into it. Don't you realize it took me 3 solid days to make that one 15-minute podcast episode? What? And that's not my best one. But the podcast, though, that did struggle the most was the one we started in 2009 called Are You Just Watching? It's Christian movie reviews with critical thinking, or rather, movie reviews with Christian critical thinking. And that was with a co-host. It was the first podcast I launched with a co-host. And that one does take a lot of preparation, because we watch the movie, we take notes, we get sound clips, a lot of stuff like I do now with our Once Upon a Time podcast. But it was just so hard to get that going, because I was discovering that I really wasn't completely passionate about that topic. And so it was hard for me to make the time for it. So what I decided to do eventually, around the same time that I was deciding to leave my full-time job and go into self-employment and entrepreneurship, I talked to my co-host, Eve Franklin, from areyoujustwatching.com. And I asked her, I explained the situation to her, and I said, you have always said that you didn't want to see this podcast dying. You've been hounding me, trying to get me to record episodes with this. But what do you think about you just taking it? And it will be your podcast from now on. I will step out and it will be your podcast. You can post the episodes. I'll show you how to do it, so you don't have to get my permission or get me to edit it or anything like that. And so that podcast was pod fading. I tried to resurrect it several times myself, just realized I could not give it the time it needed. But now I've given it over to her, and she's releasing an episode about once a month, which is great though. And she's getting some dynamite content out there. Like, she just did a review of Iron Man 3, and she's really surprised me as a monologue podcast host, because our podcast was the first time she'd ever done a podcast. And now she's producing the episodes herself. She's posting it online and getting all of that working. She hasn't set it up herself, but she's doing the day-to-day process herself and doing a fantastic job of it. So that was one that I would say I pod faded it, but then gave it to someone else to resurrect it.
Very cool. And it lives on.
Yes.
Which is very cool. All right. Well, I should ask you the proverbial, you know, the question that we always ask, which is any advice for new podcasters that are thinking of starting a podcast?
I would say hire Dave Jackson, go to schoolofpodcasting.com, and you can pay me for that later.
Okay.
But and I know we've got some good conversation talking about competition coming up. That's why I'm not saying hire me on your podcast. But my advice to new podcasters, and I've been trying to think of something that they don't already hear everywhere else. But then again, for me, it was hearing the same thing in multiple places that gave me the kick to jump into podcasting in the first place. So my advice is going to be very similar to what you hear from other people, is don't try to be perfect. If you try to be perfect, like I did when I started, you might be in the same situation of it taking you 2 years to release 9 episodes. Don't be that person. Launch. Realize there's a certain level of professionalism that you should try to launch with. Things like get a good microphone, have a decent website. Doesn't have to be all fancy thousands of dollars website. Just a decent website. Get subscribeandfollow.com now. Stick it on your website. That's the instant way to make any podcast website totally awesome. Is subscribeandfollow.com. And also just launch and know where you want to go with your podcast. So jump in, don't try to be perfect, but also have a plan, know where you want to go, and try to do the best that you can with what you have.
Very good. I second that. Well, you mentioned up, you know, competition. When you started the Audacity to Podcast, how many podcasts about podcasting were there? Do you remember?
I think at that time there were two regularly running podcasts about podcasting. I only knew of one of them actually at that point, and that was our friend Cliff Ravenscraft.
Okay.
I actually didn't find you until after I'd already started. And I remember my first thought was, oh, there's another podcast about podcasting? Bummer. And then I realized, oh, he's on episode hundreds of something or other. And I realized, oh, this guy's been around for quite a while. So I think I listened to every single episode that you had in your back catalog at that point. But yeah, there were, I think, just those two regularly running, yours and Cliff's.
Okay. Now, what inspired you? Oh, I guess at that point, you only thought there was one. So it really wasn't as big a deal to say, okay, I'm going to jump into a pool. I mean, did you ever think that maybe I shouldn't because somebody's already doing one? Or was it just a case of you just, well, what inspired you? I guess I will just leave it at that.
I knew there were probably others. The only one that seemed most prominent was one at that point to me. And then I discovered yours. And then around that same time, actually, Ray Ortega launched his. But I knew there were plenty of podcasting experts out there, blogs, and there'd be other podcasts and such. But I felt like there was a void in the space. I felt like no one was explaining the how-tos or really getting into the nitty-gritty details of why this or what are all of your options. Not just, this is the best option because I say so, but what are all of the options? Why is this like this? Why is this the best way to do it? And I also noticed no one was really talking about Audacity very much, the free audio editor. And that's what I'd been using, and because it's free, and a lot of podcasters use it because it's free. And I decided I've got stuff to say too. And I found myself talking back to podcasts or blog posts and stuff that I would read about podcasting, wanting to correct certain things or say, but you forgot to mention this, or there's also this, or here's another way to do it too, where you could save some money here and there. And then at some point I just realized I got stuff to say. Mm-hmm. I need to start a podcast to say the stuff that I have to say. So I sat down and wrote a list of topics I wanted to cover, wrote it down on paper. I think that's the last time I enjoyed using paper, but I'm completely anti-paper kind of person. But I made a list of around 35 topics I wanted to cover with the Audacity to Podcast. And I am still working from that list. There are still things on that original list that I haven't covered yet, because timing, inspiration, whatever, questions have inspired me to cover other things. So I'm still working off that original list that I launched with as my plan for the podcast. And I wanted to be a unique podcast in the space, giving how-to information and with a frequent focus on Audacity. The podcast was never intended to only be about Audacity. I know a lot of people misunderstood that because I had the word Audacity in the title. Even at the podcast awards, Leo Laporte laughed and he said some joke about it would be a podcast about Audacity that wins the award, or he said something about the irony of that. And so among the things I felt like I needed to say after that was point out that it wasn't just a podcast about Audacity. And I've actually recently decided to move on from focusing so much on Audacity. Every fifth episode, I would do something entirely Audacity focused, but it's still the software I feature the most. So I'll have an Audacity tip. I'll tell people, this is how you do it in Audacity, because I know that's what a lot of podcasters are working with. And I tell people, put money in your hardware before you put money in your software. So if Audacity can do what you need it to do, then go with that. So my inspiration was to give people this information to fill a void that I felt like there was for this how-to in-depth information. And I really believe that I found my niche there of giving that kind of in-depth how-to information.
Oh, okay. So now we have, you know, multiple podcasts about podcasting. And I've heard you say in your podcast that you are a competitive person, and I am as well. How do you stop from wanting to beat everyone?
Oh, I just beat them. That's how.
That's right. You beat them over the head with your award.
Yeah, then I don't feel competitive after I've already beat them. It is a constant struggle, and my wife is a great supporter to me and a great challenger to me frequently to remind me that even just tonight, I was talking about another podcast that's in a similar industry as one of mine that I heard is launching, and I thought, oh, there's another podcast out there, and my wife reminded me just tonight before recording this episode, she reminded me, Daniel, remember, you shouldn't be competitive or look at... She was reminding me of the stuff I was saying in my own podcast. But yeah, I do easily struggle with competitiveness at times. I'm a strange person, really. And many of your audience are suddenly saying, yes, that's right, you are. I was fourth born, spent most of my life as a second born, but thrust into the position of a first born. So I'm really weird. But okay. So the competitiveness, sometimes I can just turn it off. Yeah. And the way that I do that is I have to be intentional about it and look at, sometimes it's the bigger picture of things, realize that a success for one person means a larger market and therefore that success will trickle down to me as well. And sometimes it's really difficult when another podcaster in the same industry is being competitive against me. And then I feel like I need to be competitive against them sometimes. But I look at these things and sometimes and I know I'm saying sometimes so much, but it's a choice to step up, stop being competitive, and instead look at the great things other people are doing and sometimes promote it. Encourage community with them and not look at it. Don't treat it as competitiveness, but yeah, at the same time, not be naive and say, oh, we're not competition. I struggled with that for a while. I was talking with some other people and said, oh, don't worry, we're not really competition. Well, yeah, we were. So I was being naive, and I have to realize that this is truly competitiveness, or it is a competition technically. But we don't have to treat it as a rivalry where I'm trying to beat you, you're trying to beat me, last person to the top loses, everything like that. But it's now we're working together and seeing it as the illustration I often like to use is imagine sculpting an object. It's a three-dimensional object. You want to sculpt it, paint it, finish it, all of this stuff. I come to this object from one side. And I have a certain part of the process or multiple parts of the process. You come to it from another side, have certain steps of the process that you do. People come from different sides. Yes, there's sometimes overlap, but we're each approaching it from different angles. And because of that, we're ending up with a completed piece of art. That's what the topics are like in podcasting that we're podcasting about. Even though we're technically competition and there might be the thing of, hey, I carved this ear better than you carved that ear on your side of the sculpture. There might be certain things like that, but still, if one of us wasn't there to carve that ear into the sculpture, then we'd have a really weird looking sculpture. So as podcast listeners out there, I think they get a better picture of a subject by the fact that there is competition out there and that I cover something from a particular perspective. You cover something from a different perspective, someone else covers from a different perspective, and it then gives them a bigger picture and it presents them with more choice. The thing I would hate really to do is if there was only my podcast about podcasting and someone did not like me, which I know there are many people out there. Hi, listeners to Dave that don't like me. If someone out there didn't like me, I'd hate for them to have to come to me because I'm the only place to come for the information. But I appreciate that they can go other places. And still, I want to see the art of podcasting succeed and people improve the techniques of podcasting. And so it's great to see them getting the information and great to see other people like you or Ray Ortega or Cliff Ravenscraft succeed because it also reminds me that, hey, I can succeed too because I'm in a similar industry and we can work together, collaborate on some things like Podcasters Roundtable. So it's so often a choice. And when the other people don't want to play nicely, which I've had that happen several times before, it's just a choice to take the higher road, be the better man, whatever colloquialism or metaphor you want to use, but to just to be the person to not treat it as competition and still show more virtue and show more cooperation or community. Try to reach out and create a community instead of creating competition.
There you go. Your response is your responsibility.
Yes.
I think is another great bumper sticker, I believe, somewhere. Something like that. What is one thing we don't know about Daniel J. Lewis that might surprise people?
One thing you don't know. I've shared a lot in different podcasts.
I'm going to say, I think I got one already, but that's all right. I'll go for two.
Yeah, the being a music composer.
Yeah, the piano one. Thing. I'm like, I think I kind of already got that one now that I think about it.
Another one is I am a black belt in martial arts.
Really?
I can kill you with my bare hands. So how about we go back to talking about competition?
Okay, note to self, don't make Daniel mad. Stay away from his feet at the next pod camp.
Yeah, I think that is, those are the main things I think would fascinate people to know about me.
Excellent. Well, are you ready to just pimp, like, just go crazy and just pimp yourself just like nonstop? Because you do a lot of stuff. I mean, you have podcast cover art. Anything else? You've got the new Audacity classes that are going on. So I give you the floor, sir. Pimp away.
Yeah, I do a lot of stuff. The best places to go for my stuff, because I'm not going to overload everyone with a whole bunch of domains, but anything podcasting related that I do, like my plugin, my podcast cover art, my Audacity training, all of that you can find at theaudacitytopodcast.com. And when you're there, across the top of the website, you'll see a noodle mix bar, and that's where you can get to all of my other websites, my podcast sites, or go to noodle.mx. Follow me on Twitter at The Ramen Noodle. That's the name of my comedy podcast, and I still use that as my Twitter name because it makes everybody laugh when they see it. And you can check out my personal blog that I update with some marketing stuff, web design stuff. I update it maybe once a month, once a week, something, over at danieljlewis.net. And those are the main places. You can get to everything else I do from those three sites, or really two sites. And the one other thing I do besides the podcasting stuff, but my real passion is designing, creating things. And so in addition to podcast cover, I also design websites, company websites, personal websites, and you can check out my own websites are my portfolios, but also that goes back to danieljlewis.net. On my about page, I have a little portfolio there of some of my more recent website designs and designs I'm really proud of. That if you'd like to hire me to design a website, personal site, or big company site, I love doing that kind of thing. And of course, the WordPress plugin, subscribeandfollow.com.
There you go. Go release the hounds. Everyone go over there now. And there you have my conversation with Daniel J. Lewis. Learned a lot of great stuff in there. Number one, look for ways, if you want to kind of network with somebody, come up with a win-win situation where they're going to win because they get blah, 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 and you're going to win because you get blah, blah, and more blah. Very, very cool. We learned a great little tip on splitting. How do you have things be fair? He's using PrettyLink Pro for affiliate links, and then some of the times it goes to Eric's stuff, and sometimes it goes to his. That's a pretty cool little trick. And also, a great tip, I am guilty of this on a regular basis. I call it front page creep. And that's where you keep adding more and more and more stuff to your front page to where it just becomes this giant mess. And Daniel, of course, with his design background, said, you know, you kind of got to figure out what you want people to do and give them one call to action, not multiple calls to action there. Very good information. And I love the fact that basically, why did he start a podcast? He had stuff to say. You know, I was like, yeah, you know what? That's basically what it boils down to. And if you just can't, well, before I get to that, again, you can find Daniel over at noodle.mx, and his podcast about podcasting is at theaudacitytopodcast.com. And if you just can't get enough of Dave and Daniel, check out episode number 13, where we throw in Ray Ortega from podcasterstudio.com and Max Flight, who does Airplane Geeks, but also does Podcasting Passion. My new buddy, Gary Fawcett from Kiwi Mona. I guess it's Kiwi Mana? Mana? I'm going to butcher his name. I'm sorry, Gary. Robert Chaz Chute from allthatchaz.com, two Z's with Fear Nasty. And Eric J. Fisher from Beyond the To-Do List. We mentioned him earlier. And all of us were on episode number 13 of the Podcasters Roundtable. You can find that over at podcastersroundtable.com. I'll put a link to it. You can actually watch it right now on YouTube, and which means it should be out in an audio format as well. We do that with a Google Hangout. And speaking of Google Hangouts, one more little transition here. If you are thinking of using a Google Hangout, there is this week on Weekly Web Tools, I am talking about a plugin that makes using Google Hangouts pretty easy, and you can find that over there.
Are you the person in charge of your website? Then come check out the Weekly Web Tools podcast at weeklywebtools.com. Each week, we spotlight and review tools. We discuss strategies on web design and promotion. We talk a little SEO, all with the intent of enhancing your website. The Weekly Web Tools podcast. It's the podcast for the do-it-yourself webmaster. Check it out at weeklywebtools.com.
One of the things I do as a podcast consultant is I'm always trying to keep up with everything that is changing in the world of technology, in the world of marketing, in the world of podcasting. And I'm very happy that my friend Rob Walsh from Libsyn Wizard Media, he's the VP of podcast relations over there, and he has resurrected Podcast 411, and he had this wonderful little tidbit about podcast stats at the end of that show. Check this out. It's a big shift from 2005 to now, and listen to this.
To all the podcasters out there, the following are some numbers out of Libsyn. This is for downloads for the month of April across all the shows that are hosted on Libsyn. 53.12% of all downloads went directly to mobile devices. That's iOS, Android, BlackBerry, Windows Phone, and the like. The vast majority of those went to iOS and Android, of which there was a 4.4-to-1 ratio of downloads to iOS versus Android. 7.08% of mobile downloads was from or to, depending on your perspective, aggregator apps like Podcast, Pocket Cast app or Instacast, Podkicker, iCaster, RSS Radio, Podtrapper, Downcast, and the like. By the way, when I talk to those aggregators, the guys that are making those apps, they pull their master list of shows from the public API from Apple for the iTunes podcast directory. So if you are in the iTunes podcast directory, chances are you are in the major aggregator apps out there. 7.51% of mobile downloads went directly to podcasters' own personal apps. So this means apps like the Podcast 411 app, or the Today in iOS app, or the WTF app with Mark Maron, or the Mac OS X app, and those. Yes, podcasters' own personal apps had more downloads than all the aggregator apps out there combined. Overall, the biggest user agent for mobile was Apple Core Media with 71.3% of downloads. Apple Core Media is a few things, which includes Safari for the iPhone, if you hit an HTML5 player and it plays in Safari, and more importantly, Apple Core Media user agent also covers the podcast app, plus it covers the core player in iOS that some other apps use. So Apple Core Media is the big winner on user agents for mobile. Switching over to downloads to computers, they made up 46.82% of all downloads, with 49.83% of computer downloads going to iTunes. All different browsers made up 38.33% of computer downloads. Interestingly, the trend line for iTunes downloads is that iTunes' percentage of downloads of computer downloads is increasing, while the overall percentage of computer downloads decreases. In March, iTunes was 48.15% of computer downloads, and in February it was 47.3%. So essentially, iTunes seems to be getting a bigger percentage of a smaller pie on the computer side. Set-top boxes represented 0.0 0.06% of all downloads, which is the same as it was back in August of 2012 and the same as it was for the two-year period between April of 2010 and April of 2012. So if nothing else, it is consistent. And folks, that was 0.06%, as in less than 0.1%. Mobile, on the other hand, really is where podcasting has been moving to. From April 2010 to April 2012, it averaged just 35% of downloads. By August of 2012, that number was up to 47%, and now it is over 53%. If you do not have your own app as a podcaster, you are definitely missing out on growing your audience. Having a standalone app makes it easy for your audience to consume your content and to also give you feedback. If you take a look at the Podcast 411 iOS app, you'll see what I mean. Just search for Podcast 411 in iTunes. It is a free app. There is a call the show option and email the show option in the contacts tab. Also, being in the app stores means your show might be discovered by people searching for your type of content, but never would have thought of listening to a podcast. So I can't state it strong enough. If you are really interested in growing your audience, you need to have your own app for your show. For example, the Podcast 411 app averaged about 100 downloads a month for the last couple of years, even though I haven't put out a new episode in the last couple of years. So people were just discovering it and downloading the app. So for all of those that you downloaded the app and hadn't listened to the show before, thank you.
And there you go. So if you want your own podcast app, you can get it. You have to have the $20 package at Libsyn. And if you are interested in signing up for that, use the coupon code SOPFREE at Libsyn. At Libsyn, SOPFREE, not School of Podcasting, at Libsyn is where that coupon code works. It'll give you a free month of hosting there. And plus that $20 package will allow you to get the build your own app. And they are in kind of a beta version of if you want to give away your app for free, that is also in the mix now, and you can talk to Rob about that. And it's interesting the fact that this is why so many people are jumping back into podcasting. This is why people like Andrew Dice Clay, this is people like Chris Brogan and Paul Culligan, who kind of politely stepped away from podcasting for a while, are now stepping back in because so many people now are using their phone almost like a little radio. If we go back to the 50s or the 60s, it's a receiver. And the beautiful thing is you get to dial in what you want to listen to. And there's no more syncing. There's none of this iTunes stuff. You just, when I'm out and about, I'm like, hey, cool, let's see what else is new. Okay, yeah, download that. And because almost every place I go has built-in Wi-Fi, I don't have to worry about my data package because I'm downloading these over Wi-Fi, which doesn't go against my phone's package. So I'm constantly getting new material and I listen to it in the car. And I can even listen to it on 2x speed if I'm listening to a podcast that, in the words of the Podfather, doesn't get to the point. So that is why podcasting is feeling a resurgence, is because it's getting easier and easier and easier to consume the content. And I just heard from Kevin Mulrine of the Yes podcast. It's about the band Yes. I'll put a link to that out in the show notes. That TuneIn, which is a kind of a new, it's been a streaming platform. It's a directory of streaming platforms. I know my School of Podcasting.fm radio station is on there. That's a streaming radio of just tips and stories of podcasting. You can find that at schoolofpodcasting.fm. And he's saying now you can actually get your podcast listed there. And we'll be talking about that in the future. But TuneIn is now getting added potentially to cars in the future. So we're going to see more and more services like Stitcher and now TuneIn. And I'm sure many other ones are going to start moving their way to the car. And I'm sure in 10 years, we're going to have all sorts of services that are going to deliver this great content that we make to people wherever they want it. It's going to make it easier and easier and easier. And you can find that, Kevin's podcast. It's a podcast about the band Yes at yesmusicpodcast.com. Voted one of the top 20 podcasts at the European Podcast Awards. Very, very cool. And that is going to do it for this episode of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements. As always, you can find it out at schoolofpodcasting.com. If you want to go right to this episode, go to schoolofpodcasting.com/358. I want to say a very, very special thanks to my guest, Daniel J. Lewis. Find him at theaudacitytopodcast.com. Find him at learnaudacity.com and many other things. His website is noodle.mx, where you can find all of his shows. And thank you so much, Daniel. Want to thank Wayne Henderson for sending in his Because of My Podcast story. If you have one, you can email me, dave@schoolofpodcasting.com, or just use the SpeakPipe button like Wayne did. And you can find Wayne at mediavoiceovers.com. Want to thank you for listening and everybody chiming in. I deeply appreciate it. And if you're looking to start a podcast, I'm here to help you. Let me help you avoid the podcasting pitfalls. Let me help you get started. And let's make sure you're doing things right, because with podcasting becoming so hot right now, I'm telling you, Drew, the snake oil salesmen are out and they will take your money. They will hijack your feed. I don't know. I don't want to be a fear monger, but I'm just seeing it. And I would love to help you start a podcast in the right direction, one that you control everything from. So you can do that by going out to schoolofpodcasting.com and clicking on the Join Now button. Also, I do have a little gift for you for listening to the end of this. If you use the coupon code at theschoolofpodcasting.com, use the coupon code LISTENER, LISTENER. That'll get you right in with a little discount off that first month. So thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll see you again real soon with another episode of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements. Thank you so much, and God bless.